All right, welcome. Welcome this Thursday night of Shabbos. Is our speaker here? Okay. As we always do on Thursday nights, we come together for learning, prepare for Shabbos together, and we're now winding down. We're winding down in terms of weeks, but we're winding up in terms of speakers. And as always, Thursday night is sponsored by Mrs. Waxlack in memory of her husband, her late husband, by Dr. Chaim Waxlack, who was the clinical director here in Camp, in Camp Hask, and Hask, overall Hask, Hask Center, and has been a tremendous influence on everything that happens here and entire Hask organization. We have tremendous hakaras hatov to his work and to his legacy and to his Rebbetzin. And this learning, the learning we do every Thursday night, should be in his memory, Le'ilu Nishmaso. Tonight we have a very special speaker, Moshe Tzvi Weinberg. It's a really, really big schos, always one of the highlights of my summer when he comes and he gives us chizuk, and just being around him is something that elevates all of us. Rabbi Weinberg is a well-known personality, internationally, nationally, someone who is a mashpia in so many different circles. He has a shul, part of a shul in Bergenfield. Very, very much an incredible part of that community. And a very popular Rebbe in Yeshiva University, and a Mashkiach and a Mashpia, and so many other things. Popular lecturer all over the world, and on Wayu Torah. And every summer, he makes it his business, whether in pencil or pen, to make sure that it's on his calendar to come here one Thursday night. And we are so thankful for taking time out of your very busy schedule, Rabbi Weinberg. Thank you so much for being here. It means so much to us.
Let me see if I can figure this out.
Make sure it doesn't get stuck in the beard. Okay, shalom, friends. Brishos Rabbi Willig, Rabbi Judah, Rabbi Israel, so many other special friends. And Rabbi Willig said that that I take time to come here. First of all, I'm not that busy at all during the summer. I have a lot of free time. And the feeling of coming to Camp Hask every summer is the biggest schus for me. It's an overwhelming schus, that's the honest truth. Because I walk in every time, it's the same feeling. I look around and I see what all of you do and what all of you give with incredible strength and mesiras nefesh and love and dedication. And it's beyond words. And I know you hear that a lot. I hope you hear that a lot. No matter how many times you hear it, you need to hear it a million more times, because it's true and you deserve it and you've earned it. And there's nothing that we can say to Klal Yisrael. There's nothing that Klal Yisrael can say really to thank all of you enough for all of that. That's a very real thing, and I hope you know that. I hope you feel that in a deep way. I was trying to figure out how to express that, and I was reminded of a story. Now, everyone knows the holy Rav Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev, but really one of the founders who built Berdichev, who settled that place, an early Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov, was a Yid named Rav Leiber HaGadol from Berdichev. Rav Leiber HaGadol from Berdichev. He was an amazing, amazing person. Mysterious person, like all the early Talmidei Baal Shem Tov. He was a descendant of Rav Shimshon Meastropoli, the Megala Muko, as he came from very, very big people. If you haven't heard of him, it's probably because it said that he was asked as schar, again, I don't even know what these things mean, but as schar for his efforts in this world, he was asked, you know, do you want to put your schar towards having famous descendants? Or would you rather invest that schar in the arrival of Mashiach? And he said, I'd rather have no one come for me and just put it on Klal Yisrael's tab. And that's why he didn't have famous children, grandchildren. He came from very famous rebbes and tzaddikim. It's Rav Lieber HaGadol, it's Rav Lieber HaGadol from Berditchev. So one time he's walking and he sees a woman sitting by the side of the road and she's crying. He's a sensitive person. He's over, what's going on? And like many good Hasidic tale, you know, we had a cow and that was the source of our parnasa, the milk, we made cheese, we did like this, we did like that. Now we have nothing. So he says, fine, not a problem. Takes whatever bit of money he has, runs to the marketplace. Good, he's going to buy this woman, this poor woman on the side of the road, he's going to buy her a cow. Okay. He runs to the marketplace, he buys the cow, he's on his way back, he's bringing the cow. And he's zocha in that moment to Giloy Eliyahu. Now again, I don't know how any of these things work. But he has an encounter with Eliyahu HaNavi. Big tzaddikim have stories where they run into Eliyahu HaNavi. Now what would you do if you ran into Eliyahu HaNavi? This tzaddik, this Heilig Jew from Berditchev, Eliyahu HaNavi says, I have to ask you something, I want to talk to you about something. He says to Eliyahu HaNavi, I'm sorry, I don't have time to shmooze right now. It's a stam to blow off, you know, Eliyahu HaNavi says, I want to talk to you, and you're like, I'm sorry, I don't have time right now. You don't have time for Eliyahu HaNavi? He says, I don't have time right now, I'm on my way, I'm bringing this cow from the marketplace, this poor woman, she's sitting on the side of the road, she's crying. She's waiting for me. And he runs by. Imagine, runs right past Eliyahu HaNavi. The Holy Rishner of Yisrael of Rishon used to tell this story, and he said, you know, people, tzaddikim talk about, svarim talk about, we dream about what it would be like to have an encounter with Eliyahu HaNavi. The Rishner said, Eliyahu HaNavi that day was zocha to an encounter with that holy Jew from Berditchev. I was thinking about this story this week. I was thinking, you know, that's like the feeling you walk into Camp Hask. Like imagine Eliyahu HaNavi showed up in Camp Hask. Eliyahu HaNavi comes, you know, it's the 9 days. Forget that sometimes. In this incredible place that's beyond place and time. It's almost Tisha B'Av. Right? We're waiting for Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu HaNavi walks into Camp Hask. And I was like, oh my gosh, check it out. Eliyahu HaNavi's arrived. And Eliyahu HaNavi looks at all of you. And I'm saying this. He looks at all of you and he's like, no, I didn't come here. I didn't come here for me. I came here to learn from you. You think this is Gilui Eliyahu? You think you're here to see Eliyahu? We wish what it would be like to encounter Eliyahu HaNavi? Eliyahu HaNavi was zocha that afternoon to meet a Jew who was running in the marketplace to help out a woman who needed help. And that's, again, every single person in this room. Your dedication. Eliyahu HaNavi, I can imagine such a thing, walks into Camp Hask. He says, I'm here to learn from you. I'm here to observe. I'm here to be inspired. That's the feeling I have when I walk into this place. You know? I didn't come to inspire you. I came to just to look around to say thank you. Thank you to all of you for what you do. It's beyond this world. It's mamish beyond this world. This Shabbos, Haba Aleinu Letova, is Shabbos Chazon. Chazon Yishael ben Amos, the beginning of Sefer Yishaya, the Haftorah that we're going to read this Shabbos. It's a very mysterious Shabbos. Tzaddikim say that it's the biggest Shabbos of the whole year. And especially, I saw this week, Rav Leibel Eger says, and if Tisha B'Av itself, the 9th of Av, actually falls out on Shabbos, as it falls out this year, then it's like super, it's like beyond, it's like extra, it's the greatest Shabbos you could possibly imagine. So why is that? Again, you pick up a Chassidish Svarim, you see such an idea. Why? Why should that be? In the darkest point of the calendar year. Why? Is it that the Shabbos is protecting us from Tisha B'Av? It's shielding us from that scary, threatening day of Tisha B'Av. Is that why it's such a great Shabbos? It's creating that contrast by shielding us, by guarding us, by keeping Tisha B'Av at a distance. Is that why it's such a great Shabbos? It's guarding us, it's watching us. We shouldn't have to face that scariest, saddest day of the Jewish calendar year. Let me ask it differently. Is Tisha B'Av the scariest, saddest day of the Jewish calendar year? Is it really the darkest, scariest day? Should we walk around, you know, we're so... Is that what Tisha B'Av is? The truth is, the halacha tells us something very unusual about Tisha B'Av. The Megillah itself refers to the day, the experience that we're having as a moed, as a holiday, a Yom Tov. It's a Yom Tov. Tisha B'Av is a Yom Tov. The Shulchan Aruch writes, Ein Omrim Tachnun B'Tisha B'Av. You would think of all the days, you know, when there's a big simcha, so there's a bris, so we cancel tachton. Right? Chassan's getting married, Sheva Brachas, cancel tachton. It's a Yom Tov, we cancel tachton. Tisha B'Av, there's no tachton. If there's one day we should be falling on our face, Nefilas Apayim, it's Tisha B'Av. We shouldn't be able to pick up our heads. Ein Omrim Tachton B'Tisha B'Av, V'Ein Noflin Al Paneim. Why, says the Shulchan Aruch? The Mikrei Moed, because it's a Moed, it's a holiday. This Sunday is a big Yom Tov. It's a big holiday. Very strange. In the Megillah, in Megillah Seicha, it says, Kara Alayim Moed. Which, let's not forget the Pasha Pshat. The Pasha Pshat means that our enemies made a holiday, they made a festival out of beating us up, out of hunting Jews, out of chasing after us, out of oppressing us. Kara Alayim Moed is referring, it's a trend. The enemies made a holiday out of chasing us, out of wanting to inflict harm upon us. That pasuk is a very scary pasuk, and yet we borrow that pasuk. No, Kara Alayim Moed, it's a moed. Tisha B'Av is a big moed, it's a big festival. It's a big celebration. Friends, it's a very strange idea, no? And it's a halacha, it's not a vard, it's a halacha. You don't say tachlan at Tisha B'Av because it's a moed. So maybe you'll say, I learned the Navi Zechariah. And the Navi Zechariah says that the fast days, the fast of Tammuz, the fast of Av, all these fast days, they're going to be nepach, they're going to be transformed. Maybe that's what it means. It's a moed because, in the future, Tisha B'Av is going to become a big celebration. But that can't be the pshat. Because this Sunday, if it's a sad Tisha B'Av, halavai, it shouldn't be, we should be in Eretz Yisrael with Beis HaMikdash, but if we're sitting on the ground doing the Tisha B'Av thing again, we're not going to say tachton. Because right, not because in the future it's going to be a moed, that eventually, there's something about the moed of Tisha B'Av that's happening right now. And you have to ask, if you're thinking Jew, you have to ask, what exactly is the moed? What are we celebrating on Sunday? It's a celebration, it's a moed, it's a yontiv. Such a hard thing to understand. Let me up the ante just a little bit. The after of the Oev Yisrael said the following. The Apta Rav said, he quotes a Medrash. He said, people asked me about this Medrash. The Medrash says, Lo haya yom moed li Yisrael ki yom shenechrav beis hamikdash. Not only is the day of Tisha B'Av a moed, but listen to the words. Lo haya yom moed li Yisrael. There is no holiday. There is no moed. There is no experience like the day, like the moed of the Yom Shacharav Beis HaMikdash. Like the day that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. This is the ultimate moed. Friends, this is the ultimate moed. When we're sitting on the ground, we're trying to cry, we're trying to feel, we're mourning Beis HaMikdash, we're reciting kinos. This is the moed? This is the ultimate moed? That the Medrash says such a thing? Says the Apta Rav, V'hu Pela. It's wild. It's so hard to wrap our heads around such a thing. How could such a thing be? How could you call it the ultimate moed? The ultimate holiday? You know, sometimes I'm sitting with a group of kids and I'll ask them like, okay, let's talk about things that we like about Judaism. All right, so we'll play like a little game. Like, what's your favorite holiday? You know, so this one says, oh, my favorite holiday is Purim. I love Purim. Oh, Purim's gavaltik. Chanukah, I'm a Chanukah Jew. All right, sitting in the sukkah for me is the greatest. Yom Kippur, I love Yom Kippur. It's so, the davening on Yom Kippur. Everyone's got their Yom Tov. The matzah, I love the matzah, I love Pesach, I love the whole experience. Right? Tisha B'Av. Lo haya yom moed li Yisrael. This is the ultimate day. The moed of Nechra Beis HaMikdash, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So I think we need to translate the word moed a little bit differently. What does the word moed mean? You know, one of the names of the Mishkan was the Ohel Moed. The Mishkan's called an Ohel Moed. How would you translate Ohel Moed? The tent of meeting. Someone give this shiur already this week? The tent of meeting. You're smiling as if like of course, it's like obvious. Like I know exactly where you're going. The Ohel Moed, the tent of meeting. The place where you meet HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The place where you have an encounter, a moed means Eila moedei Hashem. Like the pasuk says in my bar mitzvah parsha, parsha's Amor, Eila moedei Hashem mikrai kodesh. Moed, we call the Yom Tov moedei Hashem, encounters with Hashem. An encounter, a meeting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara says in Maseches Makos, Kol hamavaze es hamoadim ki'ilu oved avodah zarah. And I heard today was Chol HaMoed. I heard it was Chol HaMoed in Camp Esther. It's great. I love Chol HaMoed. I'm a big Chol HaMoed Jew. Chol HaMoed is gevaldik. The Gemara says, Kol HaMavaze es HaMoed Makos Daf Chav Gimel Ki'ilu Oved Avodah Zarah. If you reject the Moed, if you don't treat the Moed respectfully, so it's like you're like an idol worshiper. What does that mean? So some say it's talking about Chol HaMoed because not everyone takes Chol HaMoed so seriously. Some people think there's no halachos for Chol HaMoed, even though there are real halachos for Chol HaMoed. So maybe that's what it means. Others say, no, kol mavaz mo'adim just means that if a person doesn't understand the significance of a Yom Tov. But kol mavaz es mo'adim ki'ilu oved avodah zarah, the Maharal explains, because every Moed, whether it's a Moed that's fun and exciting, like a Pesach or a Shavuos or a Sukkos, or it's a Moed like a Tisha B'Av, it's an encounter. It's a chance to meet HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu invites you. Ohel Moed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu invites you to a meeting. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I want to talk to you. And you say, I'm sorry, I don't have time. You're Mevazeh the Mo'adim. This Moed doesn't work for me. Ki'ilu Oved Avodah Zarah. You're rejecting Hashem. You're turning HaKadosh Baruch Hu down. So let's talk about a Moed. Let's put Tisha B'Av aside for a second. Let's talk about the Moed. Let's talk about the encounter. And again, I'm talking from the outside. I never spent the summer in Camp Hesk. A bunch of people, I got the Mussar tonight. A bunch of people are like, oh, did you, like, what year were you in Camp Hesk? Like, what? It's like, lo zachisi. I never did it. So, a moed, an encounter. You made a decision to have an encounter this summer. This is a serious encounter. You chose to put yourself to encounter the experience of spending a summer in Camp Hesk. And I hope it's inspiring. I'm sure it's inspiring. I know it's inspiring. I know it's fun. I know it's exhilarating. But I also know that it's utterly exhausting. I know it's incredibly grueling. I'm here for a couple of hours and I'm overwhelmed just by watching what you do in a couple of minutes of taking care of your campers. It's exhausting. It's incredibly demanding of you. Emotionally, mentally, physically. It's incredibly, incredibly draining, I'm sure. And somehow you slept yourself out at 10 o'clock at night, you're sitting here still learning Torah. That's not normal. Eliyahu Navi's saying, these people are not normal. We're looking like, Eliyahu Navi, you're beyond this world. Eliyahu's like, no, how do you people do it? It's unbelievable. So why are you here? I mean, you chose this Moed. This was not a Moed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu imposed, but a lot of choices you could have made this summer. You chose to have this encounter. You made a significant choice to spend your summer here. And I can tell you there are many people, very good people, fine people, who I know, who do a lot of chesed and do a lot of great things and really care about Klal Yisrael. And if you ask them, would you ever sign up for this? They're like, I can't. I couldn't. Let's be honest. I couldn't. And you know what? I'm sure some of you, if not all of you, had that conversation with yourself or with someone else at some point when you were thinking about making the choice to spend the summer here. And I'm sure some of you, those first couple of days here, you've said it a million times. I can't do this. I don't know how I'm going to do this. And you took that first off day and you cried it out and you debated it a million times and you spoke to people who are mechazek you. And you pushed through and you came back. But I'm sure for some of you, you're still. You wake up every day like, how am I going to find the strength to do this? How am I going to do this? But I also know, and again, I only know it as an outsider, and you know it, and I hope you know it deeply. I also know that when you come out the other side, having gone through it, having given of yourself the way that you're giving yourself, I guarantee, and I hope you know it in the deepest way, and I'm sure as life goes on, you'll know it that much more. As you get older and you have even more perspective, you'll understand it that much more. I hope you understand that the choice that you made, the encounter that you're having, the moed, this is an old moed, this is a place of encounters, of new encounters, of sometimes very demanding encounters. It's not the fun holidays that are easy. But it's also a moed, it's an encounter that radically transforms your entire perspective on life. It makes you a different person. Your eyes are not the same eyes that you had when you walked in, when you walked through that gate the first time. You look at everything differently. You look at a person differently. You look at a human being differently. You study a neshama differently. You look at your own kochos and nefesh differently. You're a different person. It's a paradigm shift. The whole thing is different. You have different eyes to see the world, to see Hashem's children. It's a whole different thing. The eyes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks us to have on Tisha B'Av, when we're sitting on the floor, the moed, the encounter that HaKadosh Baruch Hu forces us to have, as we're crying out through the words of the Megillah, Eini, Eini, Yardimai, my eyes are dripping with tears. And when your eyes are filled with tears, your whole vision becomes blurry, but your eyes are also cleansed. Your eyes are purified. You're able to see things deeply. A person looks at Tisha B'Av as an outsider, a person who's superficial, a person who doesn't understand what it means to look at someone or something, an encounter, only wants the fun encounters, the easy moments in life, doesn't understand what there is to gain from the toil, from the effort, from pushing oneself out of one's comfort zone in a really significant way. A person who only sees Tisha B'Av on the surface sees the brokenness of Tisha B'Av, sees the pain of Tisha B'Av, sees everything that looks so tragic about Tisha B'Av. But a person with deep eyes, and that's every person in this room, a person who understands that there's an omek, there's a pnimius, a person says, this is a moed, this is a beautiful moed, this is an incredible encounter, this is an awesome opportunity. There's a moed that's hidden in plain sight. Mom, it's right here before my eyes. But we have to train ourselves to tap into that. And you've been training. You're better trained than most people. I'll tell you a deep thing about the month of Av. Help us to listen in. What's Hashem saying? What's Hashem saying to us on Tisha B'Av? What does Hashem want from this moed, this weird, this awkward, this uncomfortable encounter? Such a strange relationship that we're tapping into on Tisha B'Av. How do we learn to listen more deeply? So I'll tell you a deep secret the Sfarim talk about, the Sfarim HaKadoshim talk about. It's a deep idea. If you want to take a little nap, you can take a nap also, it's good. The Sfarim say that every month of the Jewish calendar year, the 12 months, each one has a name of Hashem that corresponds to that month. What do I mean by name of Hashem? HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name that appears 1,820 times in the Torah. That's about once every three psukim is Yud and He and Vav and He. Yud Kei Vav Kei, Hashem's name. We never pronounce, it's so holy, it's so delicate, we don't even say it the way that it's written. Yud Kei Vav Kei. You could take those four letters and rearrange it 12 different ways. So the tzaddikim explained, for big tzaddikim, there's an idea that, you know, when you say that, you say Hashem's name, you're saying Shahakol in that month. You say Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech. So when you say Hashem's name, you picture the name according to that arrangement. It's for big people, it's for big tzaddikim. But it reveals something to us also, for regular people, and we don't have that kavan every time we make a brach. What month is Hashem's name straight? Everything's misudar, everything's nice. The Seder, Nisan. Nisan's when Hashem straightens out the world. The Jews get out of Mitzrayim. Hashem puts the Egyptians in their place. Everything's straightening out. Everything Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei, the way it's supposed to be. At what month is Hashem's name totally backwards? So sometimes people say Adar, because Vina Hafachu, it's a good guess. Sometimes people say Av, because Tisha B'Av, it's the most backwards time. Hashem is hiding from us. Not correct. Tammuz. Tammuz is Hashem's completely backwards. Because Tammuz is a scary month from beginning to end. Av, after Tisha B'Av, things get really good. We have Tu B'Av, one of the greatest holidays. Another mysterious holiday. What is the name of Hashem for the month of Av? What is the arrangement of Hashem's name for the month of Chodesh Av? So Tzadikim tell us the name of Hashem for the month of Av starts off backwards. He, Vav, and then Yud and He. That's Hashem's name for the month of Av. He and Vav and Yud and He. Okay, deep idea. And Tzaddikim say that every month has a pasuk that hints to that name. And there's a pasuk in Devarim Perachav Zayin. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Haskes Ushma Yisrael. Haskes, pay attention. Take heed. Haskes Ushma Yisrael. Listen and then listen again. Hayom Hazen Yisa La'am La'Hashem Elokecha. Because today you're going to become Hashem's people. Now this is deep into the story of Klais. This is not, we're not just becoming Hashem's people, but Moshe Rabbeinu says, but there's a way to become a different type of Jew. Listen to the words again. Haskes Ushma Yisrael. If you listen and then you listen again, if you're a deep listener, if you ask yourself, what's really going on? The surface is wild, it's crazy. What's really going on here? What's happening? What's really happening? What's really being said here? Haskes, if you listen, Ushma Yisrael, and then you listen again, then Hayom Hazeh Niyes La'am La'Hashem Elokecha. Then you become Hashem's people. So tzaddikim say, Haskes Ushma Yisrael Hayom. Look at the first four letters. Haskes is a hay. Ushma is a vav. Yisrael is a yud. Hayom is a hay. Hey, vav, yud, hay. Oh, that's the name for the month of Av. Chodesh Menachem Av. That's where we find ourselves. I don't know what that means, and I know it means a lot of things, but just to keep it very, very simple. You want to be a Jew, get something out of Tisha B'Av. You want to be a Jew, get something out of the deeper things in life. Haskes, don't be someone who just listens on the surface. Pay attention. Notice something. Something happened here. Ushma Yisrael. And then listen a little bit deeper. Pay a little bit more attention. What's really going on here? I'll tell you an incredible story to make the point. Rav Pam Zatzal. Rav Avram Yaakov HaKohen Pam Zatzal. Was once at a wedding. And it's a wedding of a fancy family, wealthy family. And the Kala's father wanted to have a certain type of ksuba. It's very artistic, you know, hand painted, the paper cutouts, you know, thousands of dollars they spent on this very, very fancy ksuba, a real work of art. You know, made by some lady in Mea Sharim, you know, very like special, mystical kavanas and beautiful. It took months to make. And they're at the chassan's tish, and they're getting ready to sign this fancy ksuba. And all of a sudden, someone who's paying a little too much attention notices, you know, a spelling mistake in the ksuba. And the father of the bride's like going out of his mind. He's like, what do you mean? Like, you know how much money I put into this ksuba? What do you mean? It's got to be okay. It can't be. This is not going to work. Pesader Kedushin reaches into his file. He pulls out a little, you know, paper, $2 ksuba that he bought at some Judaica store. And he starts filling out. The father of the bride is like losing his mind. And Rav Pam is there. Pam, real pikech, a really wise person, sensitive person, a wise person. Rav Pam grabs the father. He pulls him aside. He starts to whisper something in his ear. All of a sudden, he sees, people are watching, you know. Father of the bride's off to the side of the palm. He's closing his eyes and he's listening good as her palm whispers in his ear. And he comes back and like, okay, weiter. $2 ksuba, let's go. Whatever, we'll figure out what to do with this fancy, you know, worthless ksuba at this point. So one of her palms told me, they went over and said, Rebbe, like, well, what'd you say? He was so bent out of shape. He was so upset. What did you whisper in his ear? This is what Rav Pam said. Only Rav Pam could say such a thing. And it's so sharp but he said it probably in such a loving way that only Rav Pam could have said. Rav Pam said, I told the fellow the following. I said, you know, I see that you're really worked up. He said, but it could be, Pam said, I don't know for sure, but it could be that in Shemayim, there's a gezerah on your daughter. That in Shemayim, somehow, for whatever reason, your daughter needs to have two ksubas. And Rav Pam said, you know, let's think about this for a second. Let's think a little deeper. Let's listen to what Hashem is saying to us right now. There's a couple ways that it could happen. Lo aleinu, your daughter can get married. God forbid her husband could pass away. They could have terrible shalom bayis and end up getting divorced, and she'll have to get married a second time. Maybe that's where the second ksuba will be. Or maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in his infinite kindness, HaKadosh Baruch Hu found a way to mess up this fancy, schmancy, expensive ksuba so that your daughter will get her second ksuba right now and have a beautiful, happy, healthy marriage on Me'ev Esrim Shana. Rapam said, which one do you want? You have a moment to choose. And needless to say, with that whisper in his ear, it was a paradigm shift. Everything that he was so bent out of shape, what he saw on the surface was such a broken, such a messed up moment, all of a sudden became such a bracha in disguise. Such an incredible blessing. A Jew sits on the floor in Tisha B'Av, and we have to ask him, what's a Kodesh Baruch Hu whispering in our ear? What's HaKadosh Baruch Hu really saying? You know, on the surface, it sounds like Hashem is screaming at us. Hashem is so angry. How many times in Megillas Eicha does it say the word af? The wrath of Hashem, the anger of Hashem. Hashem is so mad at us. That's why we're sitting on the floor, we're hiding, we're embarrassed. We can't even lift up our head. In the third parak of Eicha, Dov Orev Huli, like a bear who's waiting in ambush. He is to me. Who's the who in the pasuk? He is to me. Rashi says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chazal wouldn't even say it. Chazal and the Medrash say, you know, they pick all the bad guys from Jewish history and say, no, that's who the bear is. Rashi says, no, it's Hashem. Hashem is the bear waiting to rip you to shreds. Arib Mistarim, it's like a lion in hiding. It's a terrifying pasuk. A lion, a bear waiting to get you. Imagine, it's so scary. But let's listen. What's Hashem saying? That's what Hashem wants? Hashem wants us to be scared? Hashem's a bear, a lion, ready to rip us to shreds? That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's our understanding of Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's our understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his relationship with Klai Yisrael. Let's go a little deeper. There was a tzaddik who survived the Holocaust, Rav Gadol Eisner. Amazing tzaddik. He was a mashkiach of the Ger Yeshiva in Tel Aviv. Ger Chassid was mechazik a lot of people during the war. Amazing stories of his survival. He was never blessed with children of his own, but had thousands of talmidim. So he said, you know what? He writes in one of his Torah, I'm not about this pasuk, but it'll help us to understand this pasuk. He said, you know, a kid goes outside on Purim. Kid walks out his front door on Purim and comes running back in. What's going on? There's a lion outside. There's a bear in the streets. There's a tiger that's roaming around. And he's terrified, he's scared. Get a little bit older, and you walk out the front door on Purim, and you see the bear roaming around, you see the tiger roaming around, you see the lion roaming around. And you're laughing and you're smiling because you understand it's my brother, it's my neighbor, it's my friend. Right? It's not a scary tiger, it's not a bear, it's not a lion that's about to attack me. You know, it's funny, you take a kid to the zoo sometimes. Right? What does a kid want to see? I want to see the lions. Yeah, you want to see the lions? Yeah, I want to see the lions. Okay. How about the monkeys? The monkeys are okay. Medium geschmack, you know? How about those pretty birds, the butterfly exhibit? Not bad. I want to see the lions. Right? So you finally get to the lions. Like 99 out of 100 times, the lions are sleeping, right? It's like always, lions are just chilling in the back. If you're lucky, right? Some of those are hiding inside, don't see anything. Everyone's all disappointed. What happens if the lion's actually out and like roaming around, you know? The kid who wants to see the lions so badly is like squeezing mommy and daddy's hand, you know, for dear life. Like, I want to see the lions, but I don't want to see the lions. I want to see the lions. I don't want to see the lions. Do we want to see the lions? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says in Tisha B'Av. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm the lion. Ariba Mistarim. I'm the lion in hiding. I'm about to come out. You want to see the lion? Rav God Eisner says, let me give you a mashal. Rav God Eisner says, you know, imagine there's a fellow who's struggling financially. A hard time making ends meet. And he sees an ad in the paper, anyone who wants to join the circus, who's willing to fight against the tiger, to get in the ring and to fight against the tiger, if you survive, you'll make a lot of money. This guy's tried this, he's tried that, he wants to make some fast cash. He says, you know what, I'm a big guy, I'm a tough guy. All right, I'm going to join the circus, I'm going to fight the tiger. He shows up, he signs the waiver, you know, he's ready to go. They say, okay, let's at least, you know, we'll try to help you out, we'll give you a costume. They dress him up like a lion. They give him some lion, you know, to look fierce, and they put him in this cage with a tiger. He's raising his paw and he's trying to like scare the tiger. The guy's shaking. He's terrified. He says, all of a sudden the tiger starts charging at him. And he's like, this is it. This is like, what was I thinking? This was the stupidest idea. I thought I was gonna make money like this. He says, the tiger's charging right at him. And a second before the tiger's about to pounce on him, the guy in the lion suit, you know, pretending to be a tough guy and making money at the circus, he screams out, Shema Yisrael! And all of a sudden the tiger responds, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Tiger's also a guy dressed up. Rav God Eisner says, this is our wrestling match. He uses it as a muscle for the Yetzer Hara. You think the Yetzer Hara is trying to rip you to shreds? Like, just pause for a second. Just listen a little deeper. Who's the Yetzer Hara? Who's this bad guy who's trying to rip you to shreds? Oh, the Yetzer Hara, it's a malach Hashem Tzavakos. It's a malach whose job is to act scary. That's what he does. That's what he does for a living. That's what he's paid to do. A million times, and more so, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if the Malach, if the Yetzer Hara is really on your team, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not on your team. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is actually trying to rip you to shreds. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying, Hashem says, come, let's have the encounter. Get in the ring on Tisha B'Av. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, come, let's have this again. You're shaking. I can't do this. I don't know. How's this going to work? How's this going to help me? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, watch. I'm going to help you find the part of yourself that you're so scared of, that you've never encountered. It's a moed. Moed means encounter. It's an oel moed. It's a place where we're going to meet up. Where we're going to discover each other. On the outside, it's a bear. It's a lion. It's a HaKadosh Baruch Hu gnashing his teeth. HaKadosh Baruch Hu extending his claws. He's ready to tear us down like the base of Mitzvah. We're so scared. But what if that's not what it is at all? What if that's not what's happening? Rav Shimshon Pinkus, you see many of us saw him around the base of Medrash. Rav Pinkus one time on Purim dressed up as a bear, in a bear costume. One of Rav Pinkus' kids walks into the kitchen, comes running out, Mommy, Mommy, there's a bear in the kitchen. Sheifala, relax. It's Tati. So the kid goes running back into the kitchen. Listen to this, it's very deep. The kid goes running back into the kitchen, runs over to his father, dressed in the bear costume, grabs onto his father's leg, and says, Tati, Tati, save me from the bear. We have like this, we're living in both worlds. I'm so scared of Tisha B'Av, I'm so scared, Chorban Beis Hamikdash, I'm so scared, what's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's next punishment going to be? But then I'm saying, but Hashem, but I know it's you inside. I know that the Ari B'Mistarim is not just a lion in hiding, waiting to ambush us. What if there's something hiding within the lion costume? What if there's a loving Kudsha Baruch Hu inside of that? Listen to the words of Rav Levi Yitzchak Berditchev in the Kedushas Levi. You need the Berditchev to get us through these days, through the days of the Bein HaMitzar. HaKlal Zesh HaShem Yisbarach Hechriv is Beis Tifarto. The klal, it has to be. That which HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed his beautiful Beis HaMikdash, V'anachnu Yisrael Begalus. And he's left us here for the last 2,000 years. What are we to make of that? Hakol hu bevadai tova liYisrael. It's a bracha. It's something good. How is that good? How is Tisha B'Av good? But it's a moed. It's not just a moed. It's like the Oiv Yisrael told us, lo hayu moed. There's no moed like it. It's the ultimate moed that helps us to grow. It's hard. It's really hard. It's really, really hard. I was talking to someone who's doing something else this summer. I said, how's your summer? It's great, it's schmack. I said, you feel like you're growing? Yeah, I've grown a lot. I promise you, he's having a much easier summer than anyone in this room. And when he said he's growing, I believe him. He's a Ben Torah, he's a growing person. But there's no way he's growing like what's happening here. There's no way. It's much harder here. But the growth, the moed, the encounter is so much deeper. It's so much more, you get so much more out of it. You're pushing yourself in a different way. You're giving of yourself in a different way. It says Rav Levi Yitzchak Berditchev, if this is where Hashem has put us, Hakol u'bavadei tova liYisrael, there's no way. It has to be that there's some amazing secret in all of this. There's something so positive, so joyous. You just have to learn how to look a little bit deeper. V'nimtza mashenira achshav hagalus lo tov. But you'll tell me, but my eyes tell me the opposite. My eyes see a lot of chorban. My eyes see a lot of struggle. My eyes see a lot of difficulty. Says the Berditchev or not, but Be'emes, that's not how it is. Aval Be'emes l'Kadosh Baruch Hu, hu nigale kol anistarim, shakol hu tov liYisrael. It's all a chesed. And he interprets the pasuk that we've been learning, dov orev hu li. It looks like a bear, scary image of the bear, but ari b'mistarim, but it's a lion. The Berditchever says, and again, these are things we don't understand, but on Hashem's chariot, on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's throne, the lion, the image of the Aryeh, is on the right side. The right side is the side of Chesed. Ari b'mistarim. What if it's not a scary lion? What if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to dig out a part of the strength of the lion that's found in every... in the Shulchan Aruch, yizgaber ka'ari, jump out of bed like a lion in the morning. With courage, with strength, with drive, with passion, with dedication. That's who you are. Maybe that's the Ariba Mistarim that emerges on Tisha B'Av. Maybe that's the hidden part of ourself that comes out. Maybe the Aryeh, as the Tzaddikim explain, is helping us to prepare for the days ahead. Aryeh, Aleph, Reish, Yud, and Hey, The tzaddikim explain the Aleph stands for Elul, the Reish stands for Rosh Hashanah, the Yod and the Hey stands for Yom HaKippur. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, I'm getting you ready for a Gaval, you're going to, the Yom HaRam are coming. I'm going to build you up so that you can do it right, and you can set the tone for the entire year ahead. You're going to be a different person after going through this, but you have to be a person, Haskes Ushma Yisrael. You have to be a person who listens deeply. You have to be a person who doesn't see the broken kasuba on the surface, but listens to what's her palm whispering in my ear? That's what's really going on here. That's what's really happening on a deep level. When everything on the surface is falling apart, to tune in, to listen in a very different way. Yaakov Avinu comes to receive the brachos. What does he look like on the outside? He looks like Esav. He's wearing the garments of Esav. Yadayim yidei Esav on the surface. It's that ugly world of Esav. But Hakol Kol Yaakov. It's not just Hakol Yaakov. Not just the voice of Yaakov. Hakol Kol Yaakov. It's a double voice. Because every Jew listens and then listens again. And that's why Tisha B'Av, that's why this Moed, again in the words of the Ohev Yisrael in his writings on this Shabbos, Shabbos Chazon, the greatest Shabbos of the year, Lo Haya Yom Moed Li Yisrael Kayom Shenechar Vesa Mikdash. Because if you're a deep Jew, and that's who you are, if you're a deep listener, if you're a deep observer, if you're paying attention, if you're looking, you understand that when Hashem destroyed the Mikdash, like the Medrash says, it was the greatest Rachmanis. Because Hashem didn't take out His anger on us. Hashem said, it's just a building, we can rebuild the building. And we'll build it better, we'll learn the lesson, and we'll build it better next time. Hashem poured out His anger on Eitzim Va'avonim. It's the ultimate expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love for us. I want to just end. Av Now, this is it. We're at the end. We're at the end of the scary stretch of Chodesh Av. When Av comes in again, Mamatin Besimcha, we lower ourselves. We're scared. We can't manifest too much joy. But the tzaddikim throughout the generations always explained, Mishenichnas Av, when you let Av in, if you really understand what Chodesh Av is, the Nechama of Av, the opportunity of Chodesh Av, the growth that comes from pushing yourself outside of your comfort zone, which you all did in an incredible way this summer. Mishenichnas Av, mematin. Sometimes we feel small, we feel beat up, we feel crushed, we feel drained, but we're still besimcha. Mematin. Yeah, a little bit less, but there's a smile because we know we're finding a gem, we're finding a treasure. Ariba Misterim, there's such an awesome secret that's hiding here. So I want to end with a story. In 770, on Simchas Torah, you can imagine, the Bavitchers have a lot of energy in general. They go hard. So one year on Simchas Torah, a lot of young bachrim, they were dancing for hours and hours and hours, and at a certain point, they were spent. They sat off on the side, probably making a few l'chaims, catching their breath. And an elderly chabadnik came over to them and said, bachrim, chever, you're a little tired, huh? So, I said, you don't know what it is to give it your all in Simchas Torah. He says, I remember before the Rebbe was the Rebbe. I remember in the 1940s. They still called him the Ramash. He said, I remember a Simchas Torah in the 1940s. The Rebbe danced from 10 p.m. to 7 a.m. Straight. 10 p.m. to 7 a.m. And at some point during the dancing, probably 3, 4 in the morning, someone came into the Beis Medrash. This was, again, this was before the Rebbe, was the Rebbe, when his father-in-law, the Friedrich Rebbe, was still the Rebbe, the sixth Lubavitcher Rebbe. And someone, his attendant, came into the Beis Medrash, and he went over to Rebbe Nachum Mendel Schneerson, son-in-law of the sixth Rebbe at the time, and he whispered something in his ear. Well, what did he whisper in his ear? He said, the Friedrich Rebbe has retired for the evening. He was on the third floor of 770. They were dancing down on the ground floor. He said, but I'm nervous, it's the noise, it's too much, and it's gonna, he needs to rest a little bit. Okay, so what do you do? You stop dancing. You cancel Simchas Torah. You gotta be sensitive to, don't disturb the neighbors, certainly don't want to disturb the Rebbe. He was older, he needs to rest. What did the Rebbe do? What did the Ramash or Menachem Mendel Schneerson, what did he do? He canceled the dancing, he had to cancel the dancing at Simchas Torah. You have to be sensitive, there's other considerations. We have to sometimes go a little less, but besimcha, you know what he did? He took off his shoes, the same way that we take off our shoes on Tisha B'Av. He took off his shoes, because the shoes were making a lot of noise from the dancing. He took off his shoes, and he continued to dance very quietly. And every niggun that they were singing, he was singing it, sha, 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 sha. Reminding everyone, shh, we have to be a little bit quieter now. But with a huge smile on his face. Our shoes are off, but we're not done dancing. We're speaking in a quiet voice. It's a little bit quiet, right? But we're still singing, we're still dancing. That's the growth that comes out of Tisha B'Av. That's the moed, that's the encounter that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is offering us. And like I said, every single one of you spent this summer training in the best of ways to do it right, to understand what a special moed it is, to understand what it means to grow from a situation, from an encounter that's not easy at all. That can be very draining, but with such a smile, knowing that they've uncovered such a riba mistarim, such gevura that you found inside of yourself. You should be so incredibly proud of yourself. What you've done for Klal Yisrael this summer, there's nothing that we can say to thank you enough. So, Mirtz Hashem, we should be zochet to understand. Halavai, halavai. We still have time. We can still be in Yerushalayim. There's enough time to make it. There's all sorts of cheshbonos, you know, when Mashiach's allowed to come, not allowed to come. Erev Shabbos, Motzei Shabbos. The Belz Rebbe said, Mashiach should just come, and then I'll work out all the Torahs. Like, we'll figure out how to answer the Gemaras, all the Steers. Don't worry about that. That's like the easy part. We just have to do our part to make Mashiach come. But if we have to have that moed, if we have to have that encounter, Hashem, what do you need from this moed, Hashem? Let's remember what the Ohev Yisrael taught us. This is the greatest moed. This is the greatest growth opportunity. And let's listen deeply. Haskeis Ushma Yisrael. Listen and listen again. Look at a person and look a little deeper. See who they really are. And then Hayom, like the Pasuk says, Hayom, today you'll be transformed into a real Eved Hashem. The type of Eved Hashem that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to just scoop up in his arms and give the biggest hug, thanking you, and bring us back to Yerushalayim Yer Kodesh with Mashiach Tzidkenu B'mehera B'Aminu.